If you will, turn with me to the book of the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, starting with verse 9. In reading through the book of the Song of Solomon, it's a little bit different than, well, it's a lot different than the other books of the Bible. It's a love letter that is written between two individuals. I've read a lot of different things about it, and some people even go so far as to say that book of the Song of Solomon doesn't belong in the Bible, but I disagree with them 1,000%. It is surely a beautiful part of the Bible. It was inspired of God. It was written between Solomon and one of his wives. But there was a special love that was between these two individuals. And as you read through it, you'll see that it's a conversation, really, that goes on between the two. And when one is speaking of my love, it is Solomon speaking of his bride. And then the other one will speak of my beloved, and that's the bride speaking of the groom. But ultimately, the book of Song of Solomon is a picture of the church, the bride of Christ, and Jesus, who is the groom. It's a love letter between Jesus and the church. It's a love letter between Jesus and you. And so as we look at it, as we think about these beautiful things that are said between the two, it is pure expressions of love that is given between two individuals, or in the case of us as understanding it, between us as the church of Christ and Christ, who is our groom. So the conversation is going on between the two, and then suddenly the conversation kind of switches, and this part of it is a conversation between the bride and others that she's talking to. And suddenly the others that she's talking to ask her a question. And that question this morning is my thought for us today as we look at this. And it's the very first part of verse 9. Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 9. We're going to read the rest of the chapter. But I want us to be thinking about this question throughout the message today. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is your beloved more than any other beloved that's in the world? What makes your beloved different? What makes him stand out from anything else that's in this world? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And here's her answer. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. That's talking about the pureness of his skin. The way that she sees him is just absolute purity. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars with marble set upon the sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And thank you, Lord, that you included this book in the Bible, that you included this account of this love expressed between two individuals. And Lord, today, as we look at your word, as we examine this question and this answer, help us, Lord, that we would go deep within our own hearts, within our own minds, and that we would have the answer also within us concerning our beloved. Help us, Lord, and I ask that you would give preaching grace, receiving grace, and living grace, that we might take your word and apply it in our lives. Forgive us when we fail you, and ever hold us up, Lord, by your grace and mercy. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. What is thy beloved more than another? And again, I just want us to let that question soak in. I want it to become a very personal matter with every one of us. I want us to understand that though this is the inspired Word of God, it's written on it was written on parchment originally, but now it's written on paper. But it's something that God has written in our hearts. It's something that we should look at and we should examine and we should take it as a very personal matter in our own lives. And so when this question is asked and the answer is expected from her, then as I read the Bible and I read that question, I have to understand an answer is expected from me as well. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What makes your beloved stand out more than anything else in the world? And as I began to examine myself in this question, there were some questions I had to ask myself. And the first question I had to ask myself was this: who is my beloved? That has to be settled before we can go forward with the answer. We have to settle that question within our own hearts and within our own minds. Who is my beloved? And as I began to search and think about that within myself, the answer came to me was this: I want my beloved to be the same as God's beloved. If I can come to that settlement in my own heart and mind that my beloved is the same one that God speaks of as His beloved, then I'm on some pretty sure footing, right? So, in asking that question, who is God's beloved? And y'all already know where I'm going with this, but I'm going there anyway, okay? Just to refresh our minds. On two different occasions, God told us who His beloved is. And it wasn't just that those two occasions were the only time that He saw Him as His beloved, but they were times that the audible voice, I believe the audible voice of God was heard even by, at least by John the Baptist, and certainly by Jesus, but I believe it was heard by others that were around. I can't prove it, but I just believe that it was an audible voice that came out of heaven, that at that point when Jesus was being baptized, and as He came up out of the water, and that dove descended from heaven and lighted upon Him, there was a voice that came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So as we think about Jesus entering into baptism, I'm going to take a side note for just a moment. He entered into baptism, and when He entered into baptism, that can settle one thing for us. Baptism is not what makes us children of God. He's already the Son of God, right? But yet he went through the process of baptism to identify with us. His baptism was to identify with us. So when you flip that around, our baptism is that we are identifying with Him. That He's my Savior, that He's my Lord, that He's my Redeemer. And as children of God, I'm just going to be very blunt about that. This is a commandment that we have received as children of God, that we are to be identified with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through baptism. It doesn't take us to heaven, but it is a profession of our faith and our love of the Lord Jesus Christ as we submit to that. And the water baptism is by immersion. That is that we're becoming dead to ourselves and coming up and saying, I want to be identified with Christ. We are being buried with Him and raised again to walk in newness of life. So, I'll come back off of that now. But that is something that He identified with us. So now we are to identify with Him through water baptism. The second time that God said to us concerning who His beloved is was when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain of transfiguration. And there as he was on the mountain of transfiguration, there appeared with him Moses and Elijah. And the three of them there, Christ was transfigured before them, and they saw a portion of the glory of Jesus Christ. I say a portion of it because no man can see His fullness in this flesh. But when we are changed and enter into the glory, then we'll see Him in His fullness. But they saw a portion of His glory. And they said that He was brighter than the noonday sun. His clothing, His garments glistened white because of the glory of Jesus Christ. Whiter than any fuller could whiten them. And the word fuller there means the laundry person. More white than any laundry person could have made His garments, they glistened white as snow. And Moses and Elijah stood there and talked with Jesus concerning His death. I wonder what that conversation was like. But they talked to Him concerning His death. Peter and James and John fell on their face before Jesus. And Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles." I'm thankful that he at least started with Jesus. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's make three tabernacles here to honor this place where that we now are and have been blessed to see this glorious sight. And that same voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." In other words, Moses and Elijah, they're servants. "This is my Son. He's the one that you pay attention to. He's the one that's worthy of all of our devotion, all of our honor." So when I ask myself this question, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? And I haven't gotten away from the text. What is thy beloved more than? First of all, I have to identify who is my beloved. You know, there are a lot of things in the world that can capture our attention. There are a lot of things that are like flashes in the fire that sparkle and grab our attention and want to draw us away. But there is one who is our beloved that is above all else, and that's what we settle in our hearts and minds. It seems like the older that I get, the more that I realize that this word is to be more than just something that I can quote to you. I can't quote that much at all. But it's got to be more than just something in words written on a paper. It's that which is in our hearts. It's something that we take to heart. So in my messages, I hope and pray that the thought that I share with you is something that goes beyond just the head knowledge and goes into our hearts. Something that touches us in such a way that we stop to examine who we are, where we are, what we're doing, and how we're going about this thing called life. And the best way to get through this thing called life is to settle this question. As children of God, we're to settle this question. Who is thy beloved? Who is the one that captures your attention more than anything else? And I guess that would depend on, my humanity's coming out now, that would depend on what's going on in our life at the moment, wouldn't it? If things are going good for us, well then, you know, we might not give this question a whole lot of thought. But if we're in the trenches, if we're down there where that things are getting rough for us and we can't see our way out, then we really give this question a whole lot more thought and consideration in our hearts and minds. So, who is my beloved? First of all, my beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go on record as saying that. My beloved is Jesus. He's the one in the Psalm 63 that says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life." Think about that. My beloved, His loving kindness is better than life itself. Try living life without that loving kindness and see what happens. My beloved is Jesus. And I want to be identified with Him. And I fail so many times. But my desire, my heart's desire, is to be more like my beloved, to be identified with Him, and to enjoy and experience His loving kindness in my life. So now that I've settled who my beloved is, why is He my beloved? What makes Him stand out from anything else? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Again, doing a lot of heart searching this week in trying to find the answer in my life concerning this particular question. So my mind went to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, if you want to turn there. Lamentations chapter 3. While you're turning to that, it's wedged between Jeremiah and Ezekiel in the Old Testament. It's written by the prophet Jeremiah. And God has shown Jeremiah what has taken... I'm not sure at this point if it has or if He's showing him what's going to take place in the city of Jerusalem. And that is, the Babylonian army is going to come through. They're going to destroy the temple. They're going to tear down the wall. They're going to destroy the city. It's going to look like, in the words of the prophet, it's going to be where wild animals made their habitation in that city that was once prosperous. And as Jeremiah is thinking about this, he's called the weeping prophet because he sees these things and his tears begin to flow. If y'all get tired of me taking this into our day, just let me know and it won't make a difference anyway. We live in a time that as I allow myself to think about what's going on in our nation today, it makes me weep. It breaks my heart. You know, we keep seeing and hearing people say, I want it to return like it was. And most of us here, we want it to return like it was when we were growing up. I don't know if it'll ever return to that or not. But I do want it to return to the point where that we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want it to come back to that place that we are a Christian nation. I'm not so sure that we can be labeled that right now. And that's what Jeremiah was seeing as he looked at Jerusalem. As he looked at that point at what was going to take place, the city was going to be destroyed. And we pick it up in verse 21, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. He's seeing all of this and his heart is breaking at what he's seeing taking place in his homeland. And he comes to this point. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. When I talk about our nation today, I want us to understand something. There's still hope for America. There's still hope for this nation to come back to be as strong as it ever was. Maybe in different ways, I don't know. But there's still hope. Just as Jeremiah saw, there's hope. This is what I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. I said I weep, I said my heart is breaking, but at the same time I have hope that this nation can be turned around and brought back to a place. But I'm going to tell you something, my hope is not in Washington, D.C. My hope is not in any human being. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, my beloved. That's my hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Yes, things were broken down, but they weren't consumed. Yes, they were in a strange land, but they were not consumed. Yes, they were servants and slaves to a strange people, but they were not consumed. They still existed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Did you see the sunrise this morning? I don't know that I saw it rise, but I saw it in the sky. It's there. It's the Lord's mercies that the sun is there. It's the Lord's mercies. This morning we had the front door open. Have you ever heard the birds singing like they are this spring? Maybe it's just me. Maybe we didn't hear it that much over there. But I'm telling you, I just sat there and I had to smile as the birds were singing praise to God. And if the birds have hope, then I have hope also. Because we're the redeemed. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The birds aren't redeemed, though we are. If they can sing, I can sing. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, my Father. His mercies are new every morning. But here's where I came to this for. Verse 24. What is thy beloved? What is thy beloved? The Lord is my portion. Think about that. The Lord is my portion. What are you looking for in life? What is it that you think if you find, if you can get that, that you'll have it made? It depends on what our age is, right? I don't know about you, but ours has changed through the years. Our desires, our things that we thought would fulfill us, they kind of changed. We kind of mellowed out as age comes along. But I hope that I'm at that point right now that I can say, the Lord is my portion. Let that soak in. The Lord is my portion. Saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is my portion. He is my allotment in life. He is my allotment in life. When things are spread out, when things are distributed out, Jeremiah could say, the Lord is my portion. Let me give you something that I think about every time I read that. Back in the 90s, early 90s, we would go to church camp at in Tennessee. It's tag camp. And one night of every week of camp, they were going to have banana pudding for dessert. I love banana pudding. So, when they would finish making the banana pudding, they would make it in these big old pots, you know. And I would be sitting out in the dining hall and they would bring this pot and set it in front of me. Did your mama ever let you lick the pot? Lick the icing when she was done? Well, they would bring this pot, but then they would bring this spoon. It was about this big. And put it in front of me. I didn't have no pride about me. I just started licking that pot and I ate every bit of it. And if it hadn't been too embarrassing to other people, I would have just put my face in it and licked it up. That was my portion. That was my allotment. And I was satisfied with that. I didn't even have to have some banana pudding for dessert that night because I'd already had my portion. Now you take that on a grander scale. In all of life, what can you say will be your fulfillment if you can achieve that? Let me put it this way. When Paul was in prison, he said, for me to live is Christ. You see, for Paul, Christ was his portion. What's your portion? What's my portion? When I say yours, I'm including myself in that. In fact, I've already included myself all through the week. What is my portion? What is my allotment in life? What is it that I can say, if I have this in my life, I have everything? And again, I know that changes as we age. But I'm at a point right now in my life to say, Jesus is my portion. Jesus is my allotment. If I have Jesus, I have everything. If I don't have Jesus, I can have the riches of this world, but I don't have anything. He makes everything to be sweeter. He makes everything to be more rich to us. He makes everything to be more... If we put Him first, what is it that Jesus Himself said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what happens after that? When we do that, when we put Jesus first in our life, what happens after that? He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we put our portion first, when we put our allotment first, what is thy beloved more than another beloved. He's my portion. He's my everything. He's my all and in all. So then I ask, okay, if he's my portion, what am I to my beloved? If he is my portion, what am I to him? And he answers that. You don't have to turn to this, but Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9 says, "For the Lord's portion is his people." Can I tell you something this morning? You are his portion. I don't mean to bring him down, but you're everything to him. Have you ever thought about that? You are everything to him. How do I know that? He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Jesus died for you. Your beloved died for you. You're everything to him. So what should my view of him be? He's everything to me. He's my portion. He's my life. And she's already said that in if we go down, actually a few verses after in Song of Solomon chapter 6 and verse 3, she says, "I am my beloved's." We love that part, don't we? I am my beloved's. But there's a connecting word there. And my beloved is mine. We love that part. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. There's a song about that in there. I can't sing. I don't know the words of it. I belong to him, to Jesus. I love that part. But it also goes on to say, and he belongs to me. Why can I say he belongs to me? He gave himself to me. Not only did he give himself for me, he gave himself to me. So what is my beloved more than any other? When I look at her answer, and if you notice when I read that, I'm not going to go back through and read all of those again, but she started from his head and went all the way to his toes, describing her beloved. Every aspect of him. She knew him in every way. She knew him in an intimate way. She knew him in such a way as she could be able to say, from his head all the way down, describe every aspect of her beloved. His whole countenance, his hair, his eyes, his mouth, his hands, his arms, his legs, his belly, his feet, everything about it, she began to describe him. I'm afraid all too often when I'm asked that question, what is thy beloved more than another? What is it about Jesus that you love so much? I'm afraid I begin to say, because he does this for me, he does that for me, he does the other for me, he's done this, this is how he treats me, and I don't know that my answer really describes who my beloved is. It describes what he's done for me, and that's wonderful. Don't get me wrong, it's wonderful. But do I know him well enough to be able to describe him? Not just his actions, but to describe him. Her answer consists of his attributes. And then she concludes with, he is altogether lovely. There's no blemish in him whatsoever. There's no spot in him whatsoever. There's nothing about him that I could perceive as being negative. Everything is positive about my beloved. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. We sing that song, don't we? What a friend we have in Jesus. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's part of what he does, but his attributes. This is my beloved. This is someone that I enjoy being with. I'm going to ask a question, and you don't have to answer it to me. And it may just be a question that really doesn't even need to be asked. But do you enjoy being with Jesus? Do you enjoy being in his presence? I'm not just talking about when things are going rough and we cry out to him. What about in the good times? I'll leave you out of this. Do I stop in the good times and to just share with the Lord, this is what's going on? No, he already knows. I know that. But this, let me tell you what's going on in my life. Let me tell you about what gives me joy. Let me tell you about what brings a smile to my face. I'm talking about in my prayer life to my beloved. Do I share that with him? Do I share it and say, thank you, Lord? Thank you for your blessings on me. And he's my life. He's with me in good times. He's with me in bad times. So the next time that I hear Jesus say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, can I ask that we stop at that point and think about a two-letter personal pronoun that's in that statement? You see, I'm confessing to you. I read those verses of Scripture and I say, Lord, I am heavy laden. I feel burdened. I feel like this is just weighing me down. I don't know if I can get through this or not. And then I start expecting Him to take me up and lift me up and carry me on through. And I'm afraid that when I hear that verse of Scripture, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I skip right past the two-letter pronoun. That if that two-letter pronoun is not in that verse, it doesn't mean a thing. Come unto me. Come unto me. Am I going to Jesus? Am I seeing Him? When I'm pouring out my heart to Him, can I say, His eyes are as the eyes of dove. His head is the most fine gold. His locks, His hair are bushy and black as a raven. His cheeks are as a bed of spices. His lips are like lilies. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright over. His legs are pillars of marble. Can I see Him when I go to Him? Or do I simply see the hand that's outstretched and the blessing in the hand? See, I need to look beyond the hand to see the person, to see the one that is my beloved, the one that I go to. I wrote this down, so I'm going to read this. I don't know that I could remember it. But as I thought about my beloved, and I have to admit to you, even in describing Him, I couldn't describe Him without the blessings. So, His eyes are filled with mercy and grace and love. His heart beats with desire toward me. His side has a special place just for me. His arms are filled with strength to hold me up. When I feel like I'm sinking, His hand reaches down and lifts me up. That hand that was pierced with nails as He was nailed to the cross. His palms have my name written in them. Do you know that? Your name is engraved in the palms of His hands. You're never outside of His heart. You're never outside of His thoughts. You're never outside of His being. You are a part of Jesus because of His grace. His fingers write the story of love and fulfillment for me. His legs and His feet walk with me every single day. I want to stop. I just want to rejoice. But I can tell you, I have one who is my beloved. And He's with me 24 hours a day, no matter what's going on. But guess what? I can say He's my beloved, and you can too. You can say the very same thing. He is your beloved. So I pray that the message this morning, that I'll take it home with me. Just a side note. There have been times on about Tuesday that someone would ask me, what did you preach about last Sunday? I couldn't tell them. I was already thinking ahead to the next Sunday. I don't want to forget this message. This could very well be the most important message to me that I've ever preached. What is my beloved more than another? What makes me want to be in His presence? And when I'm in His presence, being in your presence is so much sweeter. And you see what He does for us? Life gets sweeter and sweeter every day. There's so many gospel songs that talk about that. But he gets sweeter. The more that I serve him, the sweeter he gets. The sweeter he grows. He's my beloved. And I love him. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you gave your beloved to be our beloved. Help us, Lord, to embrace this great truth. Help us to love our beloved in such a way that we would want to be identified with him, that we would stand up and proclaim boldly that Jesus Christ is, yes, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, but he's our friend, he's our beloved. And help us walk in that great truth. And as we walk in that great truth, the world around us becomes so much brighter, and our life becomes so much richer and more fulfilled. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.